will take you through the progress and the commitment to transformation and conclude with the ongoing commitment to growth and job creation in South Africa. Exxaro has got a long-standing presence in South Africa, even prior to the group's IPO in 2002. As a matter of fact, the first operation started in 1989 with two very, very small furnaces producing a little bit of ferrochrome. And today, we are the fourth biggest diversified mining company in the world. We operate five different commodity businesses across 20 countries, employing over 70,000 people. In South Africa, all the alloys and our coal businesses operate assets on a mine-to-market basis across the chrome, platinum, and vanadium and coal value chain. What is a bit disturbing is the fact that over 40% of our, or in the region of 40% of our employees employed in South Africa, but we have only about 10% of our turnover and about 6% of our profits coming from these operations. I will now hand over to Andile to take you through the commitment to transformation.
Thank you very much, Piers, and good afternoon or good evening, Honorable Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. It is indeed a pleasure and an honor for us to come before you and present our progress in relation to the compliance with the Mining Charter, but also to talk about the issues relating to job creation. The first slide that I want to talk to you about is on the record of ownership. As you can see that we have met the requirements of both ownership across our businesses, and we'll come with some more specific detail on that. And also you can see from the graph that in the area of procurement and enterprise development, we've made meaningful progress in terms of procurement on capital goods. The statistics are really displayed there for the members of the committee, and also in relation to procurement of services. In the area of procurement of consumables, you can see that we have really performed and exceeded the targets that have been set. And also in terms of the next element of the pillars of the charter, which talks to the issues of top management. As of 2010, in respect to our alloys business, our record of achievement in terms of top management is at 37%. And in the area of senior management, it's at 23%, middle management at 50%, junior management at 45%, and core and critical skills for the alloys business is sitting at 82%. On the extreme right, these are the respective numbers in relation to coal, and it talks to 17, 29, 51, 55, and 87%. So, Honorable Chair, all this display is just to demonstrate to you the level of progress that we are making. That is not to suggest that we are not having challenges, but just to share with you where we're at. And I think my colleagues here in due course will be able to show you some of the challenges in the area of retention, which tends to affect, you know, the build-up of our pipeline, you know, and it's a dynamic, ongoing process that we continue to invest in as an organization. Moving further, just to talk specifically on human resource development, we are in line with the targets of the revised mining charter. that really talks to the fact that 3%, you know, of our own profits must really go to the area of human resource development. We are pleased with the progress that we are making, and also in the area of mine community development. We really have a process that ensures that our projects, number one, are based on baseline studies, and secondly, that they are independently approved projects, but also that there is indeed a role for DMR that they play in ensuring that we do get approval for our projects. The next one really talks to the issues of sustainable development. In far as environmental management, health and safety performance, as well as the utilization of based research, I mean, these are the areas that we continue to focus on, and you can see from the picture that has been presented that we have indeed progressed fairly well in that area. Issue of beneficiation, I want to suggest that we discuss it later. There is a separate focus of that in our presentation. And then also the issue of housing and living conditions, again, is an area that would be dedicated in terms of a very specific line that talks to that. I now want to address, through you, Chair, the committee on the issue of ownership. To start off just by giving you an overview in relation to the number of transactions that we have been involved in as a company. The first point to make is that we have conducted our ownership transactions at an asset level. In other words, we have looked at the various commodities that we are involved in, and I'm going to come back later to the issue of ESOP, which is at Xstrata South Africa, but starting off with alloys, we have an ownership deal that we consummated in July 2004 with Merafe Resources, which is 20.5% of the partnership that we have with them, followed by Mototolo Platinum, which was consummated in July of 2006. That joint venture, Kwagiso, owns 26%, and Kwagiso is now merged with Tiso, is a broad-based empowerment group. The next one is Elan Platinum. The transaction was concluded in December 2007, and it's a 26% of the joint venture in the platinum space. And our partner there is Gazana Consortium. The next one is on the vanadium, which is a transaction that we completed in July 2007. It's again a 26%. Of the partnership, the community of Bakwena, Bamakgopa, owns the 26% of that joint venture. The next one is on coal, the coal division. We have African Rainbow Minerals as our BE partner. We completed a transaction in July and September of 2006, basically giving ARM 30% of that particular division. The next one is Goedgevonden. Again, it's at an asset level, and this was consummated in July of 2006. And as part of that joint venture, ARM Coal owns 51%. Honorable Chair, I did say that I was going to come back later to the issue of our ESOP. If I may, with your permission, let discuss that specifically when we deal with a slide that goes into some detail on that. Except to say that, all our deals, as you can see, if we were to include the ESOP, do feature both communities and broad-based groups and entrepreneurs. This is, of course, to reflect you know, the spirit of the revised mining charter that really talks to the issues of broad distribution of ownership. I also need to mention that, you know, we have since inception distributed 2.1 billion rand of economic benefits to the BEE beneficiaries. I also need to mention, Chair, that all of our transactions, you know, are not underwater. In other words, the kind of funding structures that we have put in place, you know, have been based on vendor-funded facilitation that really reduces remotely the possibilities of our BEE transactions being underwater. I did mention to you, Chair, that I will then talk more specifically around the issue of ESOP. You would recall that in recent times, particularly in the media, you know, we have received a lot of coverage that has been unfortunate around, you know, our ESOP scheme. And I thought it would be prudent that as we come and address this committee, that we discuss more specifically, you know, the specifics around that transaction. The first thing to say is that from our point of view as Xtrata, we introduced the ESOP as part of ensuring that we align the interests of Xtrata with all of its employees across our operations. And secondly, part of the rationale was that of meaningful transfer of value to our employees and with immediate access to cash, you know, right from inception. This, of course, means that this ESOP translates into 3% shareholding participation at Xtrata South Africa. And I'm not going to talk specifically about the industry benchmark, but just to give you an indication in terms of how does our own scheme you measure with the others in the industry. Except to say that, look, the total face value is 2.6 billion rands. And it's an evergreen scheme in terms of its term. It applies to lower level employees. In other words, there is no management participation, you know, in terms of this ESOP. So our lowest level of employee is grade A, and then it goes up to the supervisory level, which is grade C. The economic cost is around 1.6 billion rands. And if we were to translate that economic cost, it is at 1.7%. The two points to emphasize, Honorable Chair, is that there is no downside financial risk exposure for beneficiaries. In other words, you know, the scheme can never be underwater. It is a fully vendor-financed interest-free loan with no fixed terms of repayment. The beneficiaries are not expected to contribute any capital to make the scheme active. And that the employee ownership is held through the trust. The beneficiaries of the trust are appointed by trustees. And we ourselves, the trust itself has got the right to appoint a member that will sit on the board of Xtrata South Africa. With your permission, Honorable Chair, I'd like just to proceed and address the next pillar in the mining charter. And that talks to the pillar of procurement. both our business units, being Xtrata Alloys and Xtrata Coal, have exceeded, you know, our compliance targets as measured by what we have submitted to DMR in March this year in relating to the reporting period ending 31 December 2010. And as you can see from the graphs, that the 40% of totally discretionary spend has been from HDSA empowered suppliers. And I just want to make the point which the Honourable Member asked in one of our previous sessions, that this basically relates to that spend that we have control over. In other words, there is a spend like electricity and some of those where we have to procure goods and services, you know, from parastatals and so on, where we do not have an influence as to their BE status or otherwise. So that discretionary spend relates only to those that we do have the ability to influence. And to say that if one were to talk in terms of the numeric numbers, Xtrata Alloys is sitting at 4.7 billion rand, which translates to 38% of that, with Xtrata Coal at 2.6 billion. Now, to move further down, Honourable Chair, just in terms of what we have done to facilitate, you know, the HDSA suppliers, is that, you know, we through our ring fencing approach, you know, we've encouraged non-HDSA suppliers to partner with HDSA companies. And secondly, that the larger suppliers, we have encouraged them, you know, to permanently partner with local HDSA suppliers, also to ensure that there is better facilitation as far as skills transfer is concerned. And thirdly, that we have made it possible for to available some soft loans at unfavorable terms, you know, to the BE suppliers to make it easy for them to buy equity or get their way into some of these business ventures. But also we have not been able to only end there, but there's been some hand-holding effort through business development assistance. If I may, I'd like just to talk now, proceed along and talk specifically on enterprise development. This strategy, Honourable Chair, is aimed at assisting members of communities to establish medium-sized businesses and also just to help some of the small companies to become suppliers of Xtrata. In other words, our approach is not necessarily to breed the kind of enterprises that would necessarily be confined to the mining industry. I will talk specifically about our farming project that is not mine-related, but it does make a meaningful contribution to the communities where we operate. But just to start with the first bullet point, we have made available loans on preferential terms to and provided startup companies, you know, to some of our suppliers, and also training and knowledge skills transfer. And also we've been able, like I've indicated in the previous slide, you know, some form of ring fencing on long-term major contracts, just to be able to build some form of economic sustainability and make sure that even if we're to fund those kind of transactions, there is enough commercial value, you know, for BE beneficiaries as well. And we have completed a project that we refer to as a mining supplier park in the Steelport area in Limpopo. This the value of this project is 65 million rand. And the idea behind this project, Honourable Chair, is to develop local SMMEs in the area that would then supply heavy current and mechanical equipment to the mining industry throughout the Eastern Limb. In other words, they would not necessarily be confined to supply us as a mining company in that area, but also other mining companies, you know, in the area. This, of course, would translate in about 1,000 jobs that will be created, you know, during phase one of this project. The second project that I want to talk about in the area of enterprise development, amongst many, Mr. Chair, is that of a commercial farming project where we, amongst other things that we provide, is a training facility. And up until now, we've committed 11 million rand to this project. And also, we are busy with this project in partnership with the Department of Rural Development. And as of this year, 15 million rand has been committed, and 15 farmers have been developed and supported through this initiative, and 150 jobs have also been created. Can I then talk to the pillar of employment equity? I have indicated in one of the high-level slides the issue of where we are at in terms of employment equity, but I just want to, if I may, just to deep dive a little bit and address, firstly, the issue of the development programs, you know, that we have in place that over time, you know, would make sure that even if at the top levels, you know, the numbers are not at the levels that we would like them to be. But just to share with the committee, you know, some of the pipeline efforts that we are busy with, and but also the very specific focus of some of these pipeline efforts. For example, the first issue I want to talk to is the fact that we are looking at staff in the areas of AGS staff in the areas of engineering. I need to say that, of course, that that investment does not start there. It starts further down in terms of the areas of schooling, et cetera, et cetera. So when we're talking about our whole development effort, we see it as a continuous chain. And certainly that's why I would like to emphasize development rather than a sort of an end product. And we'll talk more specifically about that. But also, I know that there was an issue that was raised about female representation, and I'd like just to open up and be honest, you know, with the committee that this is indeed an area that is challenging, and that is not reflective of lack of commitment. We are embracing the challenge, and we do understand the fact that we need to get it right, and we remain resolute that we will get it right. But we just want to share with you that it is indeed a challenging area, et cetera, et cetera, particularly as it relates to some of the industries like mining. But we do not want you to walk away with an impression that we are not focusing on this area, or to give you an impression that we do not understand the importance of this kind of representation. But it is indeed work in progress, and we may have not dedicated the kind of effort, but certainly we are putting processes in place that over time would yield the desired results. If I may, just to talk specifically then in terms of the various levels of management, starting with top management. As I've mentioned to you that in relation to our alloys business, we have met the and exceeded the requirements of the mining charter. We have slightly fallen short in the area of coal, but again, it's work in progress. But you can see that if you look at the second pillar, we have exceeded both from the alloys and the coal business unit. But the coal, as you can see, that is sitting at 30%, and the alloys business is sitting at 23%. But I want just to start off, Chair, with the extreme right pillars, where just to give you a sense of what we have done in terms of the core skills. this is indeed a work in progress that takes time to get into that point. But just to give you the comfort that those kind of core skills, talk to the areas of artisans, etc., which are the real technical skills that are required, but which over time they'll be able to move across into other areas of junior management, middle management, senior management, and eventually top management. I had mentioned, Honorable Chair, that indeed for us to be able to get to where we are, we need to make sure that we start the investment backwards. And this area of human resource development is an integral part, you know, of our strategy that over time would be able to yield the kind of desired outcomes. Needless to say that in the meantime, we do lose some of our own, bright stars to competition, etc., but having said that, you know, we really put, our all our energies on course, believing that certainly we will address it, not only because we want to meet the requirements of the mining charter, but something that is deeply rooted in the philosophy that says that if we were to do this successfully, we'll be able to bring the kind of diversity that will ensure that the quality of the decisions that we make are informed by the kind of reality that is before us. But also to say that indeed over time, you know, the kind of leadership that we have will begin to reflect the demography of our own society. So these are some of the drivers that shape, you know, this kind of commitment that we have. I want now to speak more specifically in terms of the kind of efforts and the we're using these figures, Honorable Chair, when we're talking about the monetary value, not to say that this is the only thing that we do. In other words, we are not saying that because we are spending 3% of our payroll for our alloys business and 5% of our payroll for the coal business, that translates into those monetary terms as something that just want to boast or show off what we're doing, but just to be able to indicate to you in financial terms the level of commitment, you know, that we're prepared to make sure that, you know, these kind of initiatives are sustainable, because that number would change from year to year, but it's reflective of what we are doing, but also to focus as well the areas of training that we are focusing on. In other words, areas of the environment, caring for our environment, the issues of safety and health, human rights, and overall professional development and mentorship. But also to be able to say that the kind of development in terms of human resources, in as much as it is being focused upon as far as our employees are concerned, we also have the kind of skills development for our communities. For example, you know, in Mpumalanga and Limpopo, we do have an artisan training center, you know, that we have established, and also a learning center in Kwagupa, where, amongst other things, it is focused on developing literacy and IT skills for those communities. But also just to go further down, Honorable Chair, to say to you that there are some development initiatives that are geared towards the youth. For example, you know, we have provided apprenticeship and learnership to 4,443 youths, and bursaries as well of 863, and graduates of 507, and student work placement of 991. This, of course, I mean, these numbers, we need to be able to say that at this point in time, just to share with you the journey, you know, that we are busy with, and not to necessarily say that this is an end game, but it does mean to us that for us to share this experience, we need to be able to demonstrate in some forms that are measurable, you know, the steps that we are making in the journey. If I may proceed, Honorable Chair, just to talk more specifically in the area of mine community development. And I'd like to preface this discussion with these following remarks. One, to say that we believe that for us to be able to sustain the kind of business model that we have for our community, for our business, we need communities that are working. We also need to make sure that the quality of lives in our communities is improved. I must say that probably the resources that we have, they far exceed the challenge that lies before us. But having said that, it does not stop us from making the best that we can. And certainly, we are willing, over and above what the mining charter requires, to be able to do more. But the nature and the complexity of the journey is such that we are not able to do some of those things alone. So to the extent that the opportunities present themselves to work with other mining companies, to the extent that the opportunities present themselves to partner with government on long-term projects that over time would be able to improve on a sustainable basis the quality of lives of our communities, even beyond our host communities, even to some of the labor-sending areas. So I wanted just to preface this so that you are able then to understand and contextualize our own initiatives as far as social development is concerned against that backdrop. To say to you that since 2006, we've been able to invest 500 million rand in social development projects. And out of that, 154 was spent in 2010. And the ongoing community projects that we are giving focus to, amongst others, is in the area of education, health, and community service centers. In terms of community service centers, you know, over and above what I've shared with you in terms of the multi-purpose center, the supplier park, we're also investing in the multi-purpose centers both in Limpopo and Mpumalanga. In the areas of health, you know, we have built 9 clinics, which, amongst other things, you know, they provide access to healthcare to over 35,000 households in Mpumalanga. But we have also partnered with government. I know that there was a legitimate question that was raised by the honorable member, where it seemed to suggest that it's only the mining companies that are making this kind of intervention in the social development space. We're happy to say that we've had very functional partnership arrangements with governments, where in the event where we build the social infrastructure, government has been able to come in, you know, provided the nurses, provided the doctors, and we are happy to report that those relationships are bearing fruit. And in fact, we are happy with the relationships. Government is happy, as well as the communities. Chair, I'm not going to go into the very specifics in terms of the education, but just to flesh out to you that, amongst other things, education, in our view, is one area that if we invest on a sustained basis, it will begin to yield long-term desirable results. And it still remain a sharp focus in terms of our community development initiatives. I must say that we can still do more. But again, I wanted just to share with you the milestones that we are making in the long journey that is before us. Honourable Chair, we continue to make progress in the area of driving health, safety, and environment initiatives. Maybe just to talk to the issues of the environment. And I want to preface this with these comments that says that We want to make sure that our approach to environment would ensure that even future generations can have a secure future in terms of an environment that is hospitable and is a very safe place to live. And therefore, we do not necessarily confine our initiatives in relation to issues of the environment to what the law requires. We're prepared to do even more to make sure that, you know, we live out, you know, this philosophy. On the issues of health and safety, again, we have put a graph there that really begins to show our commitment, you know, to the areas of reducing injuries and fatalities in the workplace. I need to share with the committee through you, Honourable Chair, that this is something that we view very seriously. Not to suggest, of course, that, you know, incidents do not happen. It is indeed one of those areas that remains a challenge, but that is not to suggest that we don't remain committed to make sure that we rise above the challenges that beset us. Chair, I had in my opening slides did indicate that I wanted to zero in more specifically on the issue of beneficiation. If I may, start off by saying that we endorse and support the decision of government to ensure that there is maximum value that can be extracted from our geological endowment, which really translates into adding value to some of our natural resources. And I'm happy to say that we have invested 8.5 billion rand, you know, in beneficiation initiatives. 1.6 billion rand is through our ferrochrome smelter in the Steelport area, which was opened in February 2008. And that was followed by 4.9 billion rand lion ferrochrome smelter in Steelport, which is phase two. And I'm also happy to say that we have invested over 2 billion rand on UG2 chromite recovery and agglomeration facilities, which again demonstrate, you know, our sincere belief, which translates into very concrete expression, you know, to this commitment. Now, the final issue I want us to talk about in terms of the broader agenda items is that of our ongoing commitment to growth and job creation. My colleague in his opening remarks spoke about the investment that we have made as Xstrata. I wanted just to take you through the journey that the Xstrata journey in South Africa started about 10 years ago with us acquiring a coal company, coal assets from Daker. And we are happy to report that to date we have invested 68 billion rand. And that is made up of 18.2 billion rand by way of new investments. Just about 50 billion rand of that is on acquisition. And that this is quite a significant investment. And that translates, Honorable Chair, to 13,000 permanent jobs for employees, and including including contractors, that number just sits just under 26,000. And under 8,000 of those were created, you know, through the projects that have been encircled in red, and more of that detail is covered there. Just to give some more specifics on job creation, we have been able to create new jobs from the recent projects that we have been involved in, starting with Goed Gevonden, which is a coal project where we have invested 4.1 billion rand. And that project has created 532 permanent jobs and 497 contractors. And during the construction period at its peak, we were employing just 2,842 jobs. That Goed Gevonden is one of our transactions that we have African Rainbow Coal as a BE partner. The second one, Honorable Chair, is also in the coal commodity space. It's an Atcom East project where we have committed a capital expenditure of 3.5 billion rand, creating 1,200 jobs during the peak of the construction, with 263 permanent jobs and 58 contractors. I had shared with you in the previous slide about, in the context of beneficiation, about Lion 2. This is one of the recent projects that we are busy with at the moment. The capital expenditure is 5.1 billion rand. And at peak construction, we anticipate 1,809 jobs to be created and 1,042 by way of permanent jobs, 619 by way of contractors. The last one in terms of the new projects, Honorable Chair, is that of Eland project, 4.5 billion rand again by way of a capital expenditure commitment, with permanent jobs in the area of 3,650, and our BEE partner in that particular transaction is Gazana Consortium. Chair, I just want to contextualize this slide by saying to the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee that we think that the information that we share with you today will not be complete if we do not open up to you about some of the challenges that we face. Because we do believe that, amongst other things, if you can be cited about the potential to do more, which would remain constrained if some of these underlying impediments are not addressed. By making these comments, we are also trying to propose some measures that can begin to address them. And thirdly, to say to you that when we are sharing these things, we also part of the processes that will bring about solutions to these problems. The first one is that of the issues of the rail infrastructure. It is indeed an impediment in the sense that our port capacity has got the capacity for us to sell more to our offshore customers, but we're still struggling to transport our products to the port. So amongst other things that we believe is a solution to address this problem is some form of a public-private partnership where, amongst other things, there will be some form of competition that is introduced in the area of haulage. The other one is that of a rail regulator. We have seen that, for example, in the area of electricity, where there is an independent setting of tariffs but also there's an independent regulation of the rail infrastructure. But be that as it may, you know, when we are talking about the long-term ability of the mining industry to create jobs on a sustainable basis, I mean, those jobs, Honorable Chair, would always be the function of the quantum of the investments that get made in the mining sector. We do believe that that potential is still there. But it will be remiss of us if we do not share with you some of the challenges that we face. And the second one is that of electricity infrastructure. To say to you that for us to be able to accelerate the momentum to implement a robust beneficiation strategy, we need electricity pricing that is affordable. So having said that, we do understand the need to make sure that new capacity is introduced, but there needs to be a balancing act in terms of how those tariffs are set to make sure that we bring new infrastructure capacity at the same time to make sure that our costs of beneficiating are still reasonable and affordable. The final point that I want to raise in the area of electricity, again, is that of private sector participation, you know, in the production of electricity. The final point on the headwinds, Honorable Chair, is that of the carbon tax. Again, I'd like just to contextualize our remarks by saying that we remain committed to the program of government that says that we need to transition towards a low carbon economy. That we support. But we believe that the journey to get there must be balanced against the other pressing imperatives that are at play, in the sense that the carbon tax in its own would add more costs. But we need to balance that against what is an affordable pricing on carbon, while at the same time we keep our eyes fixed on growing the economy and creating jobs and making sure that, you know, we can grow, you know, our mining sector. Honorable Chair, I want to conclude by saying that our visit here today is that of sharing with you the strides that we have made, and also to say to you that this is a journey. We may have missed some steps in the journey, but this should not give you a discomfort about our lack of commitment to go the distance. And certainly to the extent that you can highlight some of the areas that we need to work further on, it's something that we would welcome. But having said that, we're happy to present to you that the minimum 26% target, which is a 2014 target, not only that we have met that, but is also reflective of the spirit of broad-based participation. In other words, employees do participate in the economic welfare and well-being of our company. Communities also do participate, as well as entrepreneurs. We do believe that over time, this is a journey that would lead to a sustainable improvement in the quality of life. But also to give you the comfort that the kind of structures that we have put in place, you know, to fund those transactions are robust and sustainable. The second point, concluding point, Honorable Chair, is that of saying that indeed there are a lot of challenges that we face in terms of the communities, In other words, despite the fact that we have met the requirements of the mining charter, the challenge before us is still bigger. We have issues of poverty. We have challenges of unemployment. We have challenges of inequality, not only in our host communities, but in the country as a whole. Those challenges do not escape our attention and focus. And certainly we want to say that we do acknowledge those. The third point that is linked to the one before that is that in as much as we may be looking at focusing on the issues of mining charter relating to our mining industry, we do buy into the national project of national transformation, which characterizes issues of growth and job creation and the new growth path. And certainly, we continue to invest in projects that would indeed facilitate the employment of the youth. I need to say that we are part of MIGDET, which is indeed a structure set up by government involving labor, the mining industry and government to ensure that we not only create economic transformation for the mining industry, but that also we drive social transformation. Once again, Honorable Chair and members of the committee, we just want to express our sincere thanks and gratitude for making time available to listen to our presentation and to giving us the opportunity to share with you in the most open and honest way we can what we have done, and just to also underscore the commitment that we have, you know, to the objectives of this government. Thank you very much.
Is that all? Okay, thank you very much. Honorable members, listening to the presentation, reading through the document, I think it's quite an intense document, a bit complex as well. There are certain concepts that require further clarification. For instance, if one looks at your ownership structure, it's characterized with joint ventures in the main. When you look at your employee ownership arrangement, we are reminded of the recent situation where you had a serious disagreement with your employees. I see in your documents you're saying this, that the deal has been concluded on the 2nd of November, which means it's quite recent. And there are also quite a number of exciting figures that you are putting across. For instance, on your procurement, your CSI, you know, progress is quite impressive in terms of what you are doing, especially on the enterprise development. But I don't think that we will do justice in handling this in 5-10 minutes. We won't. I want to make this appeal that we break now. We won't do justice even to yourselves. You will live here with the wrong impression, because we would bombard you with questions, and at the end you might think that we didn't hear a thing from what you have said. We want to make this proposal that let's engage with your presentation next Wednesday with an understanding that we would request you to bring a less delegation to maybe meet you halfway in terms of your costs. We won't take issue that you didn't bring the full delegation, but people that will be able to articulate your position and respond to questions that you will be putting across. I'm saying one reads, you know, two scenarios. One scenario is that we would have to engage you on a number of unclear information that has been presented, but also one would want to engage you on a number of very exciting information that you have presented to us. So we want to do justice, and therefore when we draw conclusions on the basis of clarity, absolute clarity on issues that you have engaged with us. I don't know, honourable members, firstly, if that proposal appeals to you, secondly, to the abstractor, if they would accept our request and the proposal to you.
Honourable Chair, yes, thank you very, very much. To us, this is exceptionally important. And since the mining charter came out, our executive said, we either embrace or we get out. And the decision has been taken, we embrace. So we did this with enthusiasm, with passion. There's a lot of difficulties and a lot of problems, but we are there to solve the problems. That is a challenge. And each and every one of us committed to South Africa, committed to make this a better place for everyone. And to come down next Wednesday to do it again, no problem at all. Thank you.
Members. Yeah, I'd just like to add that in the process of them coming back, I think they need to be told fairly so that in terms of their ESOP, we'd really need more detail as to the actual works around the ESOP processes, because we might be seated with a different view and we wouldn't be able to, as you said, Chair, exhaust that in this short space of time. But also, Chair, I'd also like them to bring more detail in terms of their loan processes, how they are actually benefiting the community rather than destroying the community, if you understand what I mean. Because at the end of the day, you don't see where there's achievement in or gains in terms of people actually owning without owing. If you could have more detail on that, just to have them prepared for part of next week's engagement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let's appreciate your acceptance of our proposal and say that we will put you as the number one group to engage with on Wednesday next week. What will be the date? On the 16th. So all those that were supposed to address us on the 16th will come after you. You will just finish us with that information that the honourable member is requesting, and thereafter we'll go into questions and engagement session. We really appreciate your understanding of the situation. With that, let me thank you very much for quite elaborate presentation you have made. In fact, talking to the presentation, you've provided more information and more clarity in a number of areas than what is written in here. And indeed, let's meet next week, Wednesday, at 9. I don't know the venue. We will be notified, or your secretariat can inquire from Ms. Nolitan Luskaka in terms of the venue. With that, let me thank you very much, honorable members, for it was a whole day, really. It was seriously a whole day. I value very much that measure of commitment on all of you. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.